We have some guests here this morning, and I just want to let you know that I'm not the regular pastor here. I'm just speaking on behalf of Pastor Steve. He's away at general counsel with his wife, Laurel. And so if you don't like the message today, come back next week and hear our regular pastor. I was thinking about that. I can remember there was a season in my life, a time in my life, that when the pastor would be away, that was kind of like a one-week vacation. You didn't go to church. And I shared some stories about my older brother and I the last time around, and don't worry, Justin, I got another one. But this one's more at him because I was more spiritual at the time, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, right? Okay. I don't know. We were teenagers, and it was one of those times where we skipped out on church. We didn't go, or we were not going to go, and I chickened out, and I ended up going, and he didn't. So church was wrapping up. And I'm in the back of the sanctuary, first one out the door, right? And I hear this over the loudspeaker.
Everybody got their ears on out there.
What was that? Is that God? Am I having an audible command from God? Are your ears open?
Everybody got their ears on out there.
What in the world is that? And I heard it three times. You know, and I'm looking around and nobody's really, they didn't show the body language that they heard it too. So I leave Mass, and I go out, and there's my brother. He's in his pickup, and he's messing around with the CB. Some of you are connecting the dots, aren't you? The radio frequency of the CB was picked up by the speakers inside the church, and it was projected out. And I don't know if you remember that? Okay. I do. So I'm glad you didn't stay in your pickups and play with your CB today. You came inside, I guess, is the point of that story. Hey, this morning we're going to be talking about 1 Kings chapter 19, but before we get into that, there was a prayer request that was brought to me. Those of you who were able to make it last night to the barbecue cookout, there's a gentleman there helping Dave and Michelle serve food by the name of Brandon Fox. And Brandon has a 15-year-old son named Jordan who has esophageal cancer. That's a mouthful. And so if you can remember Jordan, 15-year-old Jordan, as well as Brandon and his family through this, I'm sure they would greatly appreciate that. We told them that our church would be praying for their family, and we want to keep our word on that. As you came through the lobby, you may have noticed there's a new decoration in the church just outside the wall behind Randy Farley back there, and it's an antique John Deere plow. The point of the message today is to talk about burning our plows in our lives, the things that hold us back. And this idea of acknowledging callings in our lives, abandoning our lives to follow that calling, and allowing God to use us for His purpose. The piece of scripture that I'll be using this morning, several of you are probably more educated than I on. But I believe we're going to gain a great wealth of encouragement from it. And those antiques out in the lobby, as well as up here on the platform, will be reminders of this message. And this isn't something new to us. At Kerwinsville Alliance, we believe in some key concepts. And what I did for this message is I jumped online and I copied and pasted all of these key concepts right from the church's website. And what I did is I took that and I put it out into a word cloud, which is what you're looking at right now. And what a word cloud does is you take a huge chunk of text. And what it does is it picks out almost like priority words or key words. And the key words then develop into these clouds. So when you look at that, you can see they're different colors, different sizes, and no, there's not a hierarchy there. So don't get hung up that the word Jesus is really small and the word church is big or anything like that, but you can see words like God. You can see that people matter on the left side, teaching, one, gifts, so on and so forth. The message this morning is found within this word cloud. This idea that a life, a richer life, can be found by following. Words like servants, doing, individual, Christ, God-given, passion. This idea is not new to us, those of us that call Kerwinsville Alliance our home. These core values were established back in the late 1990s when I was in 10th grade. The people at that time, and many of you here today, said, yes, this is what we believe. And as we reevaluate core values this summer, these are one of the things that we'll be talking about and asking, is this who we still are or not? And my hope, my prayer, is that this idea of passion is something that is still going to be within us. If you could do me a huge favor, before we get into our Bibles, I want to pray one last time so that way I can speak clearly and convey the message that it is that I feel like needs to be said this morning. So if you could just bow your heart one more time with me and pray, I'd really appreciate it. Father God, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you for the excellent music that we participated in this morning. And feeling your spirit through the words, feeling your spirit through the rhythm of the piano and just the message that was there. Father, would you be with me right now as I share this? May your words be heard, not Josh's. And I ask it in your name. Amen. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to be in verses 19 to 21. If you do not have your own Bible, the Pew Bible, you can skip ahead to page 352 is where we'll be. I've also included it on the screen. Excuse me. For today, we're going to be using two men from the Bible as our models for today's lesson, Elijah and Elisha. To give us some backstory, Elijah was one of God's prophets roughly 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. A prophet's job description is one who has contact with the divine. He would speak with God, he would speak for God, and he would carry out acts through God. And Judeo-Christian traditions are not the only ones that hold fast to this. There's prophets found in religions such as Islam and many others. So what I'm going to be talking about today and making the application to today is something that is not just unique to us, however, I feel like it is important for us to grasp. Verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they all ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became a servant. From this piece of scripture, I'm going to be using three overarching questions or three overarching ideas to keep us on track, to keep me from rambling. And these can kind of act as kind of like your doggy bags from today's entree. Have I acknowledged the call God has placed on my life? Have I recognized it? Have I abandoned myself to serve Him? Have I allowed God to use me in His own way? Acknowledge, abandon, allow. When I think about acknowledging the call placed in your life, I immediately think of Katie Davis. Katie Davis, as Jess, my wife, and I have been working on researching through our adoption process and thinking about this, we came across Katie Davis. Now, Katie Davis was your typical American teenager for the most part, and I'll share more about her here in a moment. One of the things you've got to understand about Katie Davis is that Katie Davis acknowledged her call. She and her mother went on a 3-week mission trip to Uganda. And when she went on that trip, she more or less went there for vacation. She wanted to see the country. She wanted to get out of the States. And when she came back from that trip, she was a changed person, as many people have shared with me who have been on short-term trips or done missional-style work, that when you do those kind of things, it changes you forever. And it changed Katie. When Katie came back, she was a junior in high school. Katie Davis was a valedictorian. She was the homecoming queen and the class president. So obviously, Katie Davis, she's going to go to college, right? Because that's what you do when you have those things. You go to college. She decided to forgo college. And she begged and pleaded and asked her parents to allow her to take 1 year off of school and go back to Africa because she wanted to work with the kids there. And this is what she says. She says, I was the class president, the homecoming queen, valedictorian who dated cute boys and drove a little yellow convertible while wearing designer jeans. I lived in a safe American suburb community where the lawns were always weed-free and the flowers were always in bloom. Katie Davis says, I loved Jesus, and he wrecked my life. She says that many days I'm still overwhelmed by the magnitude of the need and the incredible number of people who need help. Many days I see the destitute, disease-ridden kids lining the streets and the communities I serve, and I want to scoop up every single one of them, take them home with me and feed and clothe and love them. And I look at the life of my Savior who stopped for just one. So that's what I do. I keep stopping and loving one person at a time because this is my call as a Christian. I can do only what one woman can do, but I will do what I can. Daily, the Jesus who wrecked my life enables me to do so much more than I ever thought possible. That photo that I have up there, that's Katie. Those are her girls. She has 13 children. Now, I know some of you are thinking, 13, that's terrible. She went there. She pursued. She acknowledged her calling. She went. She saw. And then she said, he's given her so much more to be able to follow, to be able to do what she ever thought was possible. You see, we're all given the opportunity to respond to the calling that God places on us. Elisha is a great testimony to this. Did you notice what his response was in verse 19? When Elijah threw his cloak over Elisha's shoulders, he symbolically said to Elijah that he would be his replacement as God's prophet. Elisha's response was to ask if he could kiss his parents goodbye, but he minded what Elijah had done to him. He chose to acknowledge it, and he did not make excuses why working a team of smelly oxen was more attractive to him than following God's call. But I do that. You do that. We all do it. We recognize a passion that we have, how it could benefit the kingdom, yet we still hold on to the reins of the oxen and the plows in our lives. Things like security and comforts and peace of mind, savings accounts, the American dream. Now I believe that every word of the Bible is God-breathed, and this particular passage I feel is telling us that if we want a more fulfilling life, we need to be willing to not only acknowledge those passions, but we must be willing to move on them as well. So I ask you this morning, have you done that? Are you in a position today that firmly says, yeah, Jesus, I've recognized those passions you placed in my life, and yes, I'm going to put sweat on my faith by using them for your glory. Are you touching people in this community in the name of Christ? The message this morning is not just about ministry opportunities within the walls of this church. It's not within the walls of this building. It's something bigger than that. And yes, we have many opportunities to serve here within this building, but you can answer this call, and I'm challenging you to answer this call outside the ministry sponsored by this church. As I was studying for this and trying to put it all together, because I don't do this, I teach 9-year-olds, and you can wing 9-year-olds. Yeah, and this is bothering me, having to stand still too, by the way. But anyways, when I was reading the other day, I came across... I listen to a lot of speakers, and I try and read as much as I can when time allows it. And I came across the 13th chapter in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And there we're reminded of Christ's focus and where he was slaughtered. He was slaughtered outside the city walls. And that he went outside, and we're challenged in that passage in the 13th chapter that we are challenged to go out and get outside of the city walls. And to do what Christ did and live like Christ did. And we think about some of the words that Jesus said. We've heard them many times. Many of you could probably quote them. You could tell me book, chapter, verse, the whole 9 yards. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And how... So the real question this morning is not, have you answered the call to a ministry within this church? The deeper question, the harder question, the bitter pill to swallow, to steal pastor's analogy the other week. Have you answered this call anywhere? Are you doing this anywhere? In order to do this, it's going to require abandonment. So we've acknowledged, now we're moving to abandonment. Let's look again at verse 19. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and he ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and then I will come with you. In the beginning of his ministry, Jesus was continually bumping into fishermen and tax collectors, political activists, and asking them all to follow him. It's really hard for me to believe this, that in today's context, that these men would have done that. They abandoned everything, their careers, their families, their futures, all to follow Jesus, all because he said two words, follow me. I once heard that the definition of sacrifice could be to give up something for something better or someone better. Matthew records this in the chapter 16 of his book in the Bible. Jesus is speaking. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, buy into my teachings. See me as a great moral teacher. See me as a great human teacher. That's not what Christ is saying. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says it this way. I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. This is the one thing we must not say. A man who said these sort of things that Jesus said, he wouldn't be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell himself. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he was a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him. You can kill him as a demon. Or you can just simply fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. Jesus did not leave it open to us, and he never intended to. When Jesus said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it, he didn't say, buy into my teachings. He said, lose his life for me. Many other religious teachers have asked us to buy into their teachings. Only Christ was bold enough and true enough to proclaim that we trust him solely. This requires abandoning. Abandonment to God is dangerous. Serving him to the fullest extent is not safe, and it shouldn't be safe. It's not lovely, and it's not quiet. It's usually sweat and hard work and toil and lots of heartbreak. And in certain places around the world, it still leads to death. Remember Katie Davis? She responds this, or her response parallels what Christ spoke of. Later in her book, Kisses from Katie, she says this. People often ask if I think my life is dangerous, if I'm afraid. I'm much more afraid of remaining comfortable. Matthew 10:28 tells us not to fear things that can destroy the body, but things that can destroy the soul. I'm surrounded by things that can destroy the body. I interact almost daily with people who have deadly diseases, and many times I am the only person who is willing to help them. I live in a country with one of the world's longest-running wars taking place just a few hours away. Uncertainty is everywhere. But I am living in the midst of the uncertainty and risk, amid things that can and do bring physical destruction, because I'm running from things that can destroy my soul. Complacency, comfort, ignorance. I'm much more terrified of living a comfortable life in a self-serving society and failing to follow Jesus than I am of any illness or any tragedy. Abandonment to God is costly, and it requires our undivided loyalties to him. A core value of the Christian Missionary Alliance is that achieving God's purpose involves taking faith-filled risks. This always involves change. It's rooted in Hebrews 11:6, which says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Dr. Bob Featherland illustrates it this way. A rapidly spreading nighttime house fire forced a young boy to climb out of his bedroom window and onto the roof. I can't stand still. And as the fire's going on, his dad is down below him on the ground with his arms up. He's hollering, "Jump! I'll catch you! Jump! I'll catch you!" And of course, the little boy's scared. The house is on fire. And he stays on the rooftop, unwilling to jump. So his father calls out to him again, "Jump! I'll catch you! Jump! I'll catch you!" And the boy stays on the rooftop. And as you can imagine, this house is starting to become an inferno that is unstoppable. And his father, with the utmost confidence, shouts again, "Jump, I'll catch you. Jump, I'll catch you." And the little boy hollers down below and says, "Daddy, I can't see you." And his dad says, with the greatest of confidence, "But I see you, and that's all that matters." Look back at 1 Kings 19 with me, please. So Elisha left him, and he went back. He took his yoke of oxen, and he slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people when they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Elisha was done farming. He was ready to follow God's call. He was passionate about it. In essence, he burned his bridges behind him. Symbolically, by sacrificing his yoke of oxen, this was a sign of his willingness to abandon everything and follow God. Elisha was ready to jump off that burning rooftop and into his father's arms. These people were done farming. They were done pushing their plows in the dirt. And they were willing to choose to follow the call. I think it was Tozer who said, "We can be in our day what the heroes of faith were in their day. But remember, the heroes of the faith at the time didn't know they were heroes." Those five individuals, you and I, we can do that. We can be there. We can do that. Elisha acknowledged the call by abandoning everything he knew that was familiar. He allowed God to use him by serving God's prophet who was coming down to the end of his life. Oftentimes, you and I are misled believing that God doesn't really believe in us, that we can't do it. This is a false teaching, and it needs rebuked. The God of the universe places these passions on us, and he's going to use his Holy Spirit to help us along the way. Jesus put it this way. Remember when he said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." If God didn't believe we had the capacity to do this, why in the world would he have left the Trinity? John is right that God did so love the world and that he gave his Son for us. And I firmly agree with Lewis and the Apostle Paul that Jesus is Lord. And yeah, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And our response should be to love because he did first love us and to choose to follow. So what's going to be your response this morning? Will you run back, kiss mom and dad goodbye, and mind what God has done for you? Or you just simply run away? I thought about this in my own life. And probably wondering what the old moldy wood's for up here. If this balance beam represents our lives, represents my life, I'll pick on myself. I can do that all day long. It doesn't bother me any. If this balance beam represents our life, and I step into this life of mine, if I don't break my neck first, and I think about the path I can choose. It's a narrow path. It's a hard path. And as I go along this narrow path, I'm going to hit some bumps along the way. If I choose to acknowledge, if I choose to abandon, and I allow God to use me for Him, I'm going to hit roadblocks. I'm going to hit some tough times. And there's going to be times where I'm going along where I'm like, "Whoa," and I don't like that. And there's been times in my life where it's been like that. I've been going and I'm like, "Okay, I want to do this. I want to be serious about this. I want to serve you, God. I'm going to follow you." And then the first thing that happens is I get an imbalance in my life and I go, "Ooh, I didn't like that, God. I didn't like that at all." So what do we do? Josh probably did. You do this. You get down like this. You say, "This is safer. I like this. I'm going to serve you, God, from like this. Because this is comfortable." Then you get a little wiggle and you're like, "Ooh, I really don't like it. I'll tell you what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to sit down. And I'm just going to sit on my butt and do nothing. I'm going to serve you from the seat of my pants." And then, but here, but like, I'm still wobbling. I'm like, whoa, whoa, I don't like that. I know. This is smarter. Yeah, this looks good. Okay. I'm going to serve you like this, God. I'm going to give you my whole life, and I'm going to be like this the rest of my life. And I'm going to hang on with white knuckles. What's that? You want me to give money away? I thought 2% worked. Oh, okay. Well, I have an idea. Maybe I'll just bubble wrap my kids. Keep them safe, because safe is good. And this is how I was for a long time. And this is how many people live their lives, serving God. I know, I look ridiculous. I don't care. Because this is what many of us look like. And then what we do is we have this prayer. Dear God, when I die, I want to meet you. But if you could you make me die in my sleep? Because that's comfortable. So then when our time comes, we die. And when we die and we lift up and we stand and we're dead and then we're in heaven, we're like we're in the Olympics. Now think about this for a second, okay? Raise your hand if you've watched the Olympics on TV. I hope so. Okay? Could you imagine turning on NBC and watching the balance beam and you see an Olympic gymnast do that? And then when they're done, they stand in front of the judges and go, ta-da! But see, we're going to do that. You're going to stand in front of the judge someday. You're going to go, ta-da! Have you acknowledged, have you abandoned, and have you allowed? You and I are in the presence of something huge and exciting. And I hope you recognize it. I really do. And why God decided to show up in Kerwintuckee, Pennsylvania this morning, I have no idea. But He did. All I know is in front of you is a door of possibility. So where are you at this morning? Jesus said, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Remember what I said, the heroes of faith, they burned their plows, and they chose to follow God's calling on their life, and they served Him passionately. As I wrap up this morning, I just want to invite anybody who's willing to burn a plow this morning, something that's holding you back this morning, to stand up just where you're at and simply say, Jesus, I've sinned against you. I've worshipped and I idolized myself and my securities, my comforts, my people-pleasing, my physical and my social safety. Lord, will you please forgive me of this? Stretch me of this, Jesus. Heal me of this, Jesus. Ruin me. If that is your heart, would you please stand? And if it's not, don't stand. Don't you dare stand if that's not your heart. I don't mean to be the school teacher here for that last quote, but this is big. This is serious. You realize what you're doing. You are acknowledging, you are abandoning, and you are allowing. This prayer is for you if you are standing. It's a Franciscan prayer. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If the rest of you would stand, please. Father God, We thank you for who you are, that you did love us so much to come and die for us. And that if we place our faith in you, Lord, we can be transformed. That we can work alongside with you and do things in your name and through you that actually matter. Lord God, I ask that you be with us as we go from here. That the message that you have shared with us this morning, God, that it wouldn't be something we leave at the threshold of the doorway. That we would chew on it, that we would wrestle with it, and that we would grow from it. We just pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. You got Father God, as we leave here this morning, may we seek you in all that we do. Father, help us to be that city on a hill. Help us to let our light shine and help us to truly be the salt of the earth. Help us to acknowledge what it is that you have for us. Some of us might be wondering, I don't know what that is. May we counsel you, Lord, and trust your Spirit in that. Help us to have the courage to abandon ourselves. Stretch us, Lord. Lord, lastly, we ask that we would allow you to use us for you. Lord God, we know that through your strength, we can do these things. We ask it all in your loving name, Jesus. Amen. Have a great day.